Well, a gay straight alliance was established in the United States of America in the 90s. What is it? Well, it's simply a social group for people that identify as LGBTQI, so that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and their friends and allies. What do they do? Not a lot of crazy stuff. Just, you might have a pizza party, you know, just a place to meet in the school. It has to take place in the school or else it's not considered a bona fide gay straight alliance. If they happen elsewhere, as some jurisdictions require or request of students who want to have a gay straight alliance, they say, oh, that's nice. What a great idea. Why don't you have it at the public library or down the street? That's not a gay straight alliance. So a gay straight alliance must take place within the school. And many of them are now creeping down to the younger ages. That typically they are a high school thing, so grades 10, 11, and 12, and also junior high now more prevalent, and even some upper elementary are asking for gay straight alliances because we have known, and many research studies have shown, that they are the best solution for trying to reduce violence of all kinds, actually, in the school, not simply only heterosexism and homophobia and transphobia, but other forms of violence, because when the student body knows that there's such a group in the school, they kind of just toe the line. So it's a friendly little club for kids to get together at lunch. Usually it is. There is an adult leader as well, and they just talk about whatever is student-driven, so whatever the students would like to talk about. So that's it.
From your research, what are some of the concerns that parents have about them?
Parents, members of the general public that are kind of conservatively minded, they tend to think this is a sex club. Why do they think that? Well, because the word gay is in there, and so when we hear the word gay, we think sex, and that's just a correlation that we have from various media sources. But they're not sex clubs, as I just described. They're simply a group for young people to meet and share their lunch together, really, or even they could talk about their concerns, or they want to analyze a movie or watch a movie serially, like throughout the school term, and then analyze it and talk about it. Or perhaps they want to be even more politically minded. Some young people, as we know, are very politically minded and would like to organize to celebrate Pride, for example, Pride celebrations, which generally happen in the summer months, and so they might fall during the school year, so it could be in June that they would be trying to get prepared for Pride celebrations, or they might be trying to organize for commemorating the National Day of Silence or the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. So there could be some politically minded youth, but what parents are concerned about is they think, oh, if my child identifies as LGBTQI or one of those designations there, and then they go to this club, they're going to get a partner, they're going to start having sex, this club is going to be about sex, it's going to be about how queers can have sex, and I'm just here to tell you it's just not about that.
From a human rights perspective, and this has been raised, you'll hear in the media parents raising the issue of, well, what about our parental rights? Is there a valid argument even to be made regarding parental rights versus the rights of a child? Does one trump the other?
That's an interesting question, Mary-Kate, because what are parental rights? I mean, honestly, I do not see those in any documents that I'm aware of. Like, for example, Canada has ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Canada ratified in 1991. So in there, first of all, let's think about that. Why do we have to have the rights of the child? Well, because children are abused and mistreated all over the world. Are parents abused and mistreated all over the world? No. We don't need to have parental rights. This is some kind of made-up concept. We have human rights. We have children's rights. Why do we have children's rights? Because they are humans that are mistreated all over the world. So we have to have special designation of children's rights. In there, we have Article 13, freedom of expression. What I'm talking about is within the rights of the child. So these are human rights as well, but they're underscored in the rights of the child. We have Article 14, freedom of thought and conscience, and Article 15, freedom of association. So all of those things are violated when schools do not allow young people to establish a gay straight alliance. They are violating the rights of the child. Parental rights? For me, I don't understand what they're talking about when they say that. That's just some kind of political gobbledygook speech get a point made out there, establish some kind of a political point. But there is really no need for parental rights in a school. It's a child's right. This is a child's building. Children are learning. And from K to 12, we're talking about 5-year-olds all the way through to 18-year-olds. So they have those rights, and they need to be respected. So I would say, no, there's no trumping of any rights. There is children's rights, and they need to be respected.
What are the implications of political parties setting policy, really, that favors telling parents when a child is involved in a subject of, I think recently we've heard a subject of religious or sexual character, including social clubs, mm-hmm. like the Gay-Straight Alliances?
Mm-hmm. What are the implications? Well, they're pretty serious. When you're trying to ask parents to be informed about whether a child, their child, would like to join a Gay-Straight Alliance, what are the really implications of that? The parent will then, if they want to know that information, first of all, let's think about that. You have a parent that doesn't know about their own child and their own child's sexual orientation or gender identity and is flabbergasted or surprised to learn that their child would like to join a Gay-Straight Alliance. And informing the parent of this would then give the parent the opportunity to then force the child to not join the Gay-Straight Alliance. So it then, you know, is the antithesis of a Gay-Straight Alliance. We have then ruined the Gay-Straight Alliance when we ask for parental consent to allow the young person to join that. So it's very worrisome when we hear this idea that parents should be informed. Why? Like, what, as I just said earlier, it's like a little social group. Happens in school. They might be watching a movie. They might be just having a pizza party. Maybe they're celebrating somebody's birthday. What is the problem? There is no problem with this school. And as I said earlier, it's not a sex club. So there's no need to remove your child from this club. If your child is interested in joining a Gay-Straight Alliance, they must have a reason for it. They may not even identify as LGBTQI. They could be a person who's simply concerned about human rights activism and they just want to be there to support sexual and gender diverse young people. So to try to get parents permission and consent for that is just backward thinking. It's the wrong way of looking at this, and it's not going to be on the right side of history.
If I could step back a bit and ask you really why, what brought about the beginning of Gay-Straight Alliances? Why are they necessary in schools?
Great question. I mean, this is so interesting. And there are some religious groups that would like to say that, oh, we've already taken care of that Gay-Straight Alliance question because we have a general equity club for all people that are concerned with all matter of issues, whatever they may be, that have to do with diversity. And we know, for example, that Catholic schools in this country, in Canada, certainly in Ontario, they had tried to establish these general equity clubs with very unusual names like By Your Side Spaces. If you can imagine that as a word, as a name on a poster, what child is going to go to that club? You're like, what is going on in that club? By Your Side Spaces. What is that about? What is it for? The reason we need Gay-Straight Alliances is because these particular youth are so ill at ease in schools, and that's mildly putting it. They don't fit in many ways. The curriculum does not include them. The policy, educational policies do not think about them in terms of making sure they're not overtly bullied in many ways. There are some schools that are certainly trying to institute progressive policies, but overall, we can see that there are certain groups in schools, indigenous groups or another population, but certainly LGBTQ youth are at risk, youth, for all kinds of personal self-harm. And where does that come from? Not the notion that they have, because they're gay, they have this proclivity towards suicidal ideation. No, it's not connected with their sexual identity or their sexual orientation or their gender identity. It is because of homophobia, transphobia, heterosexism that exists in the culture at large that makes them feel uncomfortable, not welcome, and so othered that they feel they don't belong. And so that they, if they don't belong, then they would like to just remove themselves through, you know, cutting and other forms of self-harm to the point of suicide. So that is why we need to have these clubs. It is a profound reason to make sure that these young people feel safe in these schools.
Are there other approaches that schools or teachers, students could be adopting? So in addition to or other than GSAs in addressing issues of homophobia in the schools?
Well, I would like to put that squarely with the teachers and the adults in the building, because a little too often we say, oh, let's let the kids be the activists and let them just follow that problem. The youth will solve the problem of the world today. It's like, well, actually, we need the adults to really step up. And there are many, many ways that can be done. So through curricular decisions. So what am I talking about? Well, we have such a thing as the null curriculum. That means there are pieces of curriculum that are purposefully excluded from the curriculum. So we're talking about any accomplishments of people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer are not mentioned in any curricular documents, so historically and in literature. And I used to teach high school literature, and I made a point of telling my students that this is a lesbian author. Audre Lorde is a Black lesbian feminist. And, you know, so let them know, who is this person? Who are we reading today? You know, this is a gay author. And so let the students be aware of this. Is it in the curriculum? No, but they got that from Callahan because I was teaching that to them. So you can sometimes rely on individual teachers. And so that's what I like to see teachers step up to that, include the accomplishments of LGBTQ individuals in your teaching, even if it doesn't exist in the established curriculum that we are supposed to be teaching from the state, from the provincial curriculum. You can always augment that as a really politically forward-thinking teacher. So curricular decisions are the area, and also policy decisions. So what am I talking about when I talk about policy? I'm talking about ensuring that young people can take their same-sex partner to the end of school graduation, also known as a prom. That's a policy decision. Allowing gay-straight alliances to take place in the school. Making sure that there are safe spaces in other ways in the school. These are policy decisions. Also policy related to bullying and harassment in the school. Ensure the words homophobia, transphobia, biphobia are included in there so that we can see that this is not acceptable in these schools. That's what teachers can do. What can young people do? So many things. They're already doing so much. But we can't leave the leadership only to the young people. I mean, they're only 16 or 12 years old. Let's support them. So they are starting Gay Straight Alliance. But in addition to that, they are doing things like celebrating or commemorating the Day of Silence. So what that is students remain silent for the entire day because they want to show what happens to those who have been bullied because of transphobia, biphobia, homophobia. So they won't speak at all during the day. It's an action that they take. You can imagine this doesn't go over well with teachers when the student won't respond. But there is this day, the Day of Silence. So students can organize for that. They can organize around the International Day for homophobia, transphobia, and biphobia. They can organize for social events. They just have a party. They don't have to be so politically activist. But they can do all these kinds of things that are outside of the Gay Straight Alliance. But these are typically things that Gay Straight Alliances will actually do.